everybody, it's me, Kathleen Madigan. Welcome to Madigan's Pubcast. You grab yourself a drink, pull up a bar stool, and let's talk about what's been going on. Termites, I'm back for episode 91. Isn't that crazy? I know, I'm back from Denver. Memorial Day weekend, we took off because I'm distracted right now. There's a storm coming in. For fun, really. But really, I had to get ready to do the special, which we did in Denver, and we did two shows. They were both awesome. My friend Bob, he's the lighting man of the century, and he made everything look so nice. And the crowds, the thing about the Paramount, though, the Paramount Theater in Denver is completely awesome. I posted pictures and stuff. You can go look on Instagram and all that stuff. But there's really only one way in. So the line around the block, like, let's say you went to the Stiefel in St. Louis. There's like five ways in. But then it's an older theater and they can't. So it's gorgeous. But I just want to thank everybody who stood out in that line. And then I thank God it wasn't raining or snowing because people had to stand out there and be very patient. And I saw the videos because my friend Chuck was out there and he went out there to go see what was going on. And here's how. So it's an Amazon original, which means it'll just pop up. It means you don't have to go search for it.
When's it coming out?
Well, I'm not 100% sure when it's coming out. Could be the fall, could be the first quarter of 2023, because it depends on how many secret things Amazon original has backed up already in line. Well, they're secret. I don't know. I just sign papers and go tell jokes. I don't really know. It'll be on when it's on. That's all. But as soon as I find out, I'll say so. But you have to have a for sure thing from them. I don't want to say it, and then it's not on there. And then what the fuck? We had a blast. And the greatest of all time, Mr. George Wallace, was the opening act. And he was very sweet. The host, I should say. But I feel like for a special, you should get a goat, you know, if you can. And Lou's already done two. Ron was going to do it, but then because of COVID, it got moved. And then Ron was working in Vegas this weekend. And George has always been, you know, and for a long time I was thinking maybe Louie, but then Louie died. So it was going to, him and George, whoever was available. So Louie's clearly not available because Louie's sadly passed on to the Great Buffet with John Panett and is no longer here. But George was great. He's just such a wonderful host. Like, he's just, his laugh is infectious. His smile is infectious.
He's so fun.
He's hilarious. He's got this thing about Will Smith at the end that's so funny. His act about how he hates all anybody named Smith now. And he goes through, he goes, Emmett Smith, he can go fuck himself too. Like, Emmett Smith's the nicest guy in the world, blah, blah, blah. It's just so funny. And we got to hang out. I couldn't go. He went down to the club in town to go run his set and just see what was going on. But because of COVID, if I got COVID, the whole thing would get canceled. So I had to stay locked up against my boo is right, because Tori Amos was there on Thursday and I could have gone because I got there Thursday. I love Tori Amos. I mean, she's super duper weird, but I don't, the songs were great. And then I saw her tour bus and driving away and I'm like, oh, boo, I'll have to find somewhere else to go see her. But I could have gone for free too because it's the same theater I'm working in. And then Friday was so bad. Somebody from the Grateful Dead.
No, the Moody Blues.
Oh, the Moody Blues. They're the same, right? Unless you don't ever say that to my friend Brian. He'd shoot me. Debbie loves the Moody Blues. And I chickened out on my super high heels because I thought my feet might break in the first show. So I just wore regular black boots. But I'll show you, Termites, what I did buy. I overreached. These were I did. And then I put them on, and my friend Chuck's like, what are you doing to yourself? Because really, it's only an inch higher than the black boot. But I'm like, yeah, but these are really, and he's like, don't do it. You're just going to come off crying. And I'm like, yeah. He goes, you're not going to be comfortable if you're not comfortable, and then you're not going to be funny. And that resonated. I'm like, yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
If you're not comfortable, no. I did get to go to Sam's, my favorite diner. I did sneak in there Thursday around 3 o'clock when I knew there wouldn't be a crowd. I love that place. And then I was filming a video for this podcast outside of Sam's. I heard two termites across the street yell out, do you have any ranch? And I turned around. It made me laugh so hard. I almost got hit by a bus. You'll see it in the video. I almost get, because I was kind of in the bike bus lane trying to get Sam's in the background. So then I went over, and they were waving and laughing. So then when I was done, I went over there and got them out of Sam's and took a picture on the street.
That's
and
nice.
Sent them on their way. Yeah.
That hammer bar is fun.
They'd seen me in Sacramento and Reno. And I said, yeah, Sacramento. I don't know what's happened to that downtown. And they're like, right? I'm like, I know. It was quite scary.
Terrible.
A little apocalyptic, if you will. And it's the capital. Like, come on, California. But other capitals aren't really that great either. I can name quite a few. Albany.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Your friend Mike was fun.
My friend Mike in Denver.
Yeah.
All the guys
Chris,
that helped.
Chris is awesome.
Because you have two, like when you film a special like that, I don't even know if anybody cares about this stuff, but I'll just say it and you can fast forward if you don't care. You have to deal with the actual venue and then you've got the production team and they're not part of the venue. So everybody's got to like get to know each other super quickly.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, here's the tick box office lady. This is the front of the house guy, blah, 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 blah. A lot of moving parts. But my friend Mike, big hockey fan too, Mike. So we, thankfully the Avs won, the Colorado Avalanche won that night.
Chris Buffles.
Right before it, yeah. And Chris, he's the guy who runs the Paramount. He's the king cheese. He gave me these Boulder Canyon Classic Sea Salt. See, why don't I do this before, Kathleen? Now, why don't you do that so loud?
You like it.
No.
Ah!
People are irritated by that.
I am.
I would be. I was listening to this. They're good till October.
Mm-hmm. When the snow falls.
They're good. They're good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Nothing special. I mean, they're good as far as the sea salt kettle style potato chip. It's exactly as advertised. Boulder Canyon.
There you go.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah. So, a lot of people brought stuff backstage. What I'm drinking is Cosmic Cowgirl. And this is from the head of the catering thing at the theater there, the Paramount. Well, you should really go online and look at the pictures. The inside of that theater, it's just gorgeous. I never asked anybody what year it was built, but it's got to be old.
It's beautiful.
Super old.
They'll
yeah.
See it.
Well, you don't see it, though. Not really. Like, in the daytime, I went over there for... Here's what's crazy. The amount of shit it takes to get a special going. I just sit back there and I look at all the shit, the crates and the wires and people, all the children are running around. And I was like, what did it take to make Braveheart? I mean, I'm just a lady standing in one spot. I don't even move. You don't have to have a camera. There were a couple drunkies at the second show. It made me laugh because they tried to ride the jib camera arm.
No.
like a buffalo. Yeah. They were asked to please get down, and they did, and they were fine. They just got overstimulated.
We're going to be on TV.
I think the second show had a few more drinks, which was fine by me.
Yeah.
I had already had a couple, too. Because it was a problem, a little problem with makeup. If you happen to watch this special and see white lines cracking through my face, that's called primer. Dear God. So thanks for the beer. I don't know that lady's name, though, but I'm going to meet her in Colorado Springs. I told her because she wanted to come backstage, and it was just a giant cluster. If it wasn't for paddles here and my friend Chuck running around, there would have been a lot of things left on the table.
You owe me a beer.
Yeah, I owe George a shit ton of beers because we started the second show so late and he had to go because he was sweet enough to come all the way out to Denver from Atlanta and then he had to be back in Jersey for a Sunday night charity gig. I didn't know that. I thought he just wanted to leave on a red eye, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I'm like, he could stay, George.
Mm-hmm.
So this lady brought a lot of beers backstage too, and some of them we drank at the thing, so I don't have them with me.
Yeah.
And then a couple of them I gave to the children because they looked thirsty. They were so hot. They're running around a lot. It's just amazing how much you think, especially when you see a comedy special. It's just a person. And
yeah.
Like my set is always just going to be a curtain.
Mm-hmm.
It's classic. It's what I do every night. Why would it be any different? Now, some people... Some people choose to get more creative. I will never forget, and then I'll move on from this work talk, but Comedy Central used to, maybe they still do, I don't know. They used to do Comedy Central half hours,
mm-hmm.
and you got your 25 minutes. That's what it boiled down to after commercials, probably 22 minutes. But they did it like a factory. They do like 10 in a weekend and everybody flies to New York. They fly it in New York. But I was so young and I didn't know that I could ask anything. I didn't know that I could say anything. All I knew was do what they tell me to do, go out there and tell jokes and I'm done. Well, I never thought about the backdrop and I got there and I go, is that for me? And they were like, yeah. And it was a wheat field with a grain silo and then a windmill. They go, aren't you from Kansas? I was like, I'm fine. All right, fine. I'm from, no, I'm from Missouri and I'm not a farmer. I mean, at St. Louis, you could have put the arch up or something, Busch Stadium, something, but I didn't know that I could say anything, but then it made me laugh so hard that they just put me in a fucking wheat field.
You make cereal?
Look, I haven't even watched the whole Wizard of Oz because it scared me so much. I am not from Kansas.
It would be great.
This lady brought a bunch of beer backstage, her husband Kevin picked them out. So thank you, Kevin. And he's had a tough couple months because of some health stuff and a work layoff. But anyway, they came to the show, Andrea Lafayette. Yeah, it was very nice. And I got so just to let those people know, I got that.
Now
this I'm going to taste. This is, I have to put these down. I'm going to get them all confused. Somebody brought me buffalo jerky, venison jerky, and elk jerky. Susan, Carol, and Jeanette. They like the podcast and they brought me jerky. So here we go. I'm not tasting the venison because my dad made us eat deer meat my whole life. And you can't, my mom would try to trick us. I'm like, Mom, these aren't hamburgers.
Yes, they are.
I go, no, they're not. They're deer burgers, and everybody knows that. Yeah.
Gross.
So, but elk, now I'm Joe Rogan. That's all he does is eat elk meat. Post pictures of elk. Mm. It's good. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I don't know about the buffalo. I'm not eating that venison, but I'll give it to my brother-in-law, Matt. He'll love it. Or my dad, he'll eat it.
I like buffalo.
If their teeth can handle it. At 80, their teeth are fragile. That's really good. I love the elk. A couple more things backstage. Oh, wait. I want to see who brought me the, because we ate this. This person. It looks like E-Z-Z-A-H and Wendeth. Great place in North Louisville called 12 Beers, Dark Beer and Pretzels. But they brought these. I am. The pretzels saved us because we didn't even have time in between shows to go get food. Nobody, it was just a.
We had to fix your makeup.
Yeah, we had to fix my primer so I didn't look like a White Walker. I probably do. Like, is her face cracking in front of us? What's seeping through?
Raw!
Yeah. These people, this is Patty and Jen. Let's see. Enjoy the bottle of Empress Gin.
Yeah, it was good too.
Yeah. Specifically for the Empress Hotel in Canada. That's what it was made for.
Really?
Yeah. Loyal Termites. So just so you know, this it had said mid-show snack on this box that was backstage, sitting on a thing next to
It's in Victoria. Yeah.
Ron sent flowers. Yep. Tater, Ron White, sent flowers backstage, which was very nice. And Amazon sent flowers, which is very nice. But in the middle of the flowers, a little more important than the flowers, I saw it was a styrofoam thing, and it said, mid-show snack, beers and snack. And I thought, who did this? Well done. Chuck looked at me. He goes, do you just eat anything people send backstage? I said, for the most part. Yeah, I do. I'll taste it. You know, I'm sorry, Chuck. I'm not the queen. I don't have a taster. I'm it. If I get poisoned, I get poisoned. This little lady, but I got a little pot from Colorado, and it's still packed, or I would show it. This is a loyal termite. Jen? And she had paper clips in there.
Those
funny.
Yeah, we have those.
I have the paper clips, and I have the little pot. And then more beers from, just so you guys know, this stuff all makes it backstage. Well, most of it, sorry. AJ.
Albuquerque.
Drove from Albuquerque. Happy to see you in Denver. Yeah, I never get to go to Albuquerque. I don't know why.
Call Heidi.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Heidi, do you listen to this? Heidi's my agent. She's a wonderful person. But sometimes I think they forget about it. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's mostly not me, put it that way. This one, these are travel Crown Royal travel bags.
Oh, yeah.
Super cool. I'm putting all my, yeah, you can actually see through the bag. That's why I liked it.
Yeah.
Because you just don't need to see me throwing a fit when I can't. And on Saturday morning, I passed my COVID test, which was stupid. So my new Mexican termites came, Catherine, Sharon, nice. Cherry. Yeah. Okay. So I think that's about it. This lady, this is a note. I read all this note.
Beer.
Great beer in Denver. These people brought beer. Lisa brought beer. So there was plenty of beer backstage. And the food, I know, we were up till, well, the poor crew people, they didn't even probably leave there till 2 or 3. And then, you know, they do this every weekend. They were going to do Ali Wong next. And then they had done something with Shakira. What? I'm like, what? We're getting fancy with Shakira. Yeah, they have to, they work their asses off. The main lady in charge of like stage and all that stuff was this woman, Bernadette. And she was, if you could have 50 Bernadettes, you'd never need another human being. Like, she was just the best at keeping things calm and getting the job done. And I know she said she really liked my act because we're about the same age, which I would have thought she was 30. I mean, I seriously, when I was like, what? She's like, yeah, my parents are getting old too. And we started laughing about the old people things. And then when she said her age, I was like, oh, wow, whatever you're doing. You look good. Maybe I need more primer. All right. So that's all that termite. Let's move on. Let's move on to what's going on. I have no queen news. Nothing about the ladies. I've been busy. My friend Kathy saw Tanya Tucker in that casino Ron works at.
North Carolina? Yeah.
She said it was great.
Yeah.
So I recommend any Tanya Tucker show because not only are the songs great, she's funny. Very funny without trying. Yeah. At one point, she sat down and her shirt busted open, which you'd think would be horrifying as a woman. But she just laughed her ass off and said she'd gotten fat.
Oh, my God. She's playing Nashville Pride.
Tanya's playing Nashville Pride?
Yeah. June 26th is the next show.
Maybe I'll go.
Yeah.
When's that?
June 26th.
No, I'm in Vegas. Can't do that.
Wow. That'll be a fun
Good for her, though.
She
did do a duet with RuPaul, I think. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what Cher's been up to. I didn't have a lot of time to be on my normal Twitter and all that. There are a lot of people with a lot of questions. And you know what? I don't have any answers. So I don't know why they kept asking me shit. What am I going to try? Here's what else I'm trying besides that. This is the last thing, and then we'll move on to the actual stuff. This is El Paso, Old El Paso Zesty Ranch. It sounds delicious. Why do you make that face?
It's a weird color.
It is a weird color. It's like peach.
I know.
No.
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 Maybe on a taco.
Yeah, I don't
think
you get crackers.
Well, but it says ranch. They have a picture of it on a taco.
Oh.
I see how that could work.
Okay.
All right.
What do you rate it?
What do I rate this?
Yeah.
Well, for on a taco,
yeah.
Fine. B minus.
B minus.
I'd rather have hot sauce.
There you go.
Yeah. But I'm not one of the children.
No.
Okay. No. Don't really have anything on the Queens. Haven't really watched anything except I started Under the Banner of Heaven with Andrew Garfield, who's the guy who played Jim Baker in The Eyes of Tammy Faye. It is amazing that dude's British. You don't ever hear it come through, unlike Nicole Kidman. Every once in a while, and I love Nicole Kidman, but every once in a while, that Australian accent just goes boom, right through. And his, not so much. And so far, I'm only an episode and a half in. It's great. Now, here's a little something for the treadmill. I don't think this show is great. It's called Imposters. It's on Netflix. It's more like a stupid caper, dumb thing. But for the treadmill, does the job. Because it's a little addictive. You want to keep knowing. It's dumb, but entertaining enough. And then I just was watching hockey with my friend Mike. So go Avs.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for the Avs. Mm-hmm. And then maybe Tampa, I guess, because my old St. Louis Blue Pat Maroon is on Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat needs a fourth Stanley Cup, like nobody ever said in their whole life. Moving on. Update! Oh, it's an update about Anna.
Oh.
Anna Delvey. Nice. Also known as Anna Sorokin. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she had this art show in New York of shit she's drawn while she's in ICE detention. Okay. I know. It's so ridiculous. Whoa. But I thought, who's going to do that? Like, who's going to pay for this? Like, you have to rent a space.
Right.
You know, there's expenses. A California-based artist says she's put expenses totaling $8,000 on her credit card to help stage Sorokin's solo show in March. How dumb? How dumb are you that you would even do anything with this woman? An artist who helped organize the New York City exhibition Free Anna Delvey in March, which included works based on drawings that Anna Sorokin, the notorious Soho scammer, made in prison, says she's owed $8,000 for expenses related to the show that she put on her credit card. Julie Morrison, an NFT artist, an MFA student at University of Southern California, she paid for exhibition costs like framing, printing, scanning, transportation, making t-shirts, she told the New York Post. More than 2 months later, she said she still has not been repaid, neither by Sorokin, who in Spending Sprees chronicled in the Netflix series Inventing Anna, racked up five and six figure debts at Trinity Manhattan hotels while attempting to raise money for an exclusive Park Avenue Arts Club, nor by Alfredo Martinez. So this is the guy that's helping Anna. He's the exhibition's co-organizer and an artist once convicted for selling counterfeit Basquiat works. So, I mean, who are you working with here? I just can't afford to. I can't afford to just throw $8,000 worth of Anna Delvey's expenses on my card. Well, you already did. I wasn't doing it to be a good friend to her. I did it for the show, knowing that I'd be paid back. At least that's what Alfredo promised. Well, did you Google Alfredo? You should have known, right? A spokesman for Sorokin told the tabloid that the art world fraudster currently being detained by U.S. In ICE. She was not directly responsible for Morrison's exhibition expenditures. Martinez, for his part, told the Post, "She will get paid. We are still we're still in the spending money phase of the project."
Come on.
Wow. I mean, you know, people, you pick up the snake, it bites you. Well, you knew it was a snake. What is the matter with PayPal? Anna, she got new lawyers. I don't know if she's going to have to go back to Germany or not, but I think I'd send her all the way back to Russia. Let's go where you really started. Right. Russia. That's where you really started. Update. Oh, my God. So my friend Loreen went to the Whitney Houston hologram thing. Yep. My friend Loreen had the greatest weekend. She got to see Anita Baker and Gamble, and she went to the Whitney Houston hologram thing. And I said, and Loreen's the lady who directed my last special, Bothering Jesus. She was too busy for this one. She's a very busy lady. And she does The Deadliest Catch and all this. She's very much a techie, a very proud techie nerd person. So I thought, oh, you should probably send me to the Whitney Houston thing, not Loreen, because she's going to judge it way more harshly than I would, because I'd be like, that's amazing. How did they do that? Oh, my God. Look, it's Whitney. It is pretty. She took a quick video of it, though, from her seat. She said she liked the music, but she said it's not good quality. But guess whose is great quality? The Avatars.
Nice.
It's opened. The ABBA show.
Oh, great.
Oh, my God. This is amazing. So I was telling Loreen, like, we got to go. I don't think I can fly to London just for this, but it's going to get on the road. Maybe it'll come to America.
Oh,
this is crazy, too. You have to go watch that ABBA documentary about the one lady singer who was so afraid of people, she moved to some island off the coast of Sweden, and then her stalker moved on the island, and then she married her stalker.
I'll put it in the show.
Who does that? And then she ended up divorcing him. She's just not. And I thought, you know, wouldn't that just be the worst thing ever? Like, God gives you this wonderful talent to be able to sing that great, but you're terrified of people.
Yeah.
She didn't like any of it. The other lady was like, bring it on. We're in Wembley Stadium. This is awesome. Yay. Ha ha. And this one's terrified. And that's part of the reason they split up. But anyway. Agnetha, Frida, Benny, and Bjorn reunited for the opening night of the concert, which features digital versions of the band. By the way, King Gustav
flew in from Sweden just for the show.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Free to watch the show. And it's amazing. They're all still alive. They're good. No problem. But they made a red carpet appearance. And, it's Swedish King Carl, the 16th Gustav, and his wife Sylvia also joined the audience, meaning there was a real-life dancing queen in attendance. Get it? Because she's the queen. She's the queen of Sweden. The concert's been in the works since 2016 and features groundbreaking new technology that recreates the sight of ABBA in their 1970s prime, playing hits like SOS, Voulez-Vous, and Lay All Your Love on Me. Wow. To create the spectacle, the band performed in motion capture suits for 5 weeks with 160 cameras scanning their body movements and facial expressions. Those became reference points for the hundreds of animators and visual effects artists to create avatars of the band in their heyday. I mean, this is always usually, from what I can tell, that Benny guy. He is so futuristic.
Yeah.
And the amount of money they spent on this, and, you know, what if nobody came? What if you plan a giant party and nobody comes to your party and you lose all your money? He didn't even care. They're just into it. And if I trust anybody, I would trust these guys with bringing me an avatar, a.k.a. Avatar, that's actually real. These are not 3D holograms, as everyone involved in the production, as it is, pains to point out. I don't think any holograms shows have been successful. After 5 minutes, I don't think they're that interesting. That's kind of what Loreen was saying.
Yeah.
You're just going for the music. But if I had to look at some weird thing at Stevie Nicks on stage, like some weird hologram, I think I'd rather just go listen to the music. I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know. All I know is now there's people that are going to be dead that are taking gigs, except at least ABBA built their own giant megaplex thing to do this in.
Right.
That's why I don't get how they take it on the road. The characters appear on a massive 65 million pixel screen with lights and other effects blurring the boundaries between the digital elements and the real world in the arena. It sounds like the Van Gogh thing, which was completely awesome. Amazingly, they've pulled this off. The images might be 2D, but impressive lighting effects and background provide a crucial depth of feel, creating the illusion that the band are really in the room with you. I was cynical about the technology ahead of the show, but the effect is mystifyingly realistic. It needs to be seen to be believed.
Wow,
what a review, huh?
Yeah.
Although the band members were in their 70s when the motion capture footage was filmed, the Royal Ballet's resident choreographer, Wayne McGregor, helped them recreate the movements of their younger selves. How crazy is that? I don't even know what I did last week, more or less what I did when I was 20 and they're 70. The Agnetha and Frida's homespun dance routines, which could charitably be described as extravagant walking, are both instantly recognizable and achingly nostalgic. I just want to read you one more thing. This is just people saying how great it was, but the stuff that they loved it. But this is what it took to do it. Mm-hmm. It's been 42 years since their last concert. Do you know where their last concert was? Japan.
You're kidding.
Nope. It took 1,000 visual effects artists to create it. 160 cameras captured the band performing. Mm-hmm. 1 billion computing hours. 500 lights in the purpose-built arena. 3,000 people can attend every show. That's small, too. That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was going to be like, the size of this building looks like it's like a hockey arena, like 18,000, but maybe this equipment. Wow. It's a perfect solution to a band who never swore to tour again after they dissolved in 1982. Even turning down a $1 billion offer to play 100 shows at the turn of the millennium.
Wow.
$1 billion. I guess they got enough. I mean, I've always felt that way. You got enough. What's another? Who cares? What are you going to do with that? You only live so long. Yeah. So they have to make, I think I read, like $200 million to pay the bill. But these are sold out so far.
Yeah.
But then I'm thinking, is it just people my age and older? I mean, are the children? I don't know. There's children that listen to this podcast. Would you go? People under 40? Would you go see ABBA? Well, not the real ABBA, whatever.
Everybody knows
Dancing Queen, and a lot of people saw Mamma Mia. That really helped.
True.
I mean, it helped their little cause here,
true,
as far as spreading the word about ABBA. Update? I have two updates on the super yachts.
Oh,
Sanctioned Russian oligarch's mega yacht hides in a UAE creek.
What?
How do you hide a yacht in a creek?
A super yacht.
United Arab Emirates in the dusty northernmost sheikdom of the United Arab Emirates, where laborers cycle to buy rustic tea shops. One of the world's largest yachts sits in a quiet port, so far avoiding the fate of other luxury vessels sanctioned to Russian oligarchs. Bring it down to the Lake of the Ozarks. take it to Party Cove. Nobody will rat you out as long as you give free beer. Just keep a full keg on the back, and none of us in the Ozarks will report you. It'll be all the talk. Did you see that guy with the super big ass boat? Oh, is it one of the Bushes? No, it's some Russian guy. Mm-hmm. Well, should we call him and report him? No, he's giving out free Bud Light. It's a 387-foot motor yacht A's presence in the Ras al-Khaim Creek shows the UAE's neutrality during the Russians' warp neutrality. I never liked the neutral countries. No. You're just an opportunist. Yeah. You're making money off somewhere. It's the Switzerland's bullshit. Pick a side. You pick a team. Right. Mm-hmm. You don't just get to sit on the side and watch the game for free.
Nope.
No, well, they are. So this guy's Minachinko. It's his boat, and he's hiding it. Sound like he was Asian?
Yeah.
Well, that's how it's spelled. Chenko. It's worth $300 million. Uh-huh. Now, I know in my 26-foot or 27-foot chaparral that was half full of gas and I had to fill it up, half a tank on the water was $154 because gas is $7 on the water.
Holy shit. Now,
that's a 27-foot boat. Uh-huh. This is 387 feet long. I can't even come up with a number for gas. You know what? I'm going to do that for next week's podcast. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to do the math on a calculator because I can't do it see how much based on $7 a gallon.
Okay.
I'm going to do it.
Wow. I can't wait.
It was in the Maldives, but see, they're rushing to hide them, which is crazy because this is also an update. Some of them. Different story, same topic, are vanishing from global tracking systems. Now, this is what I didn't understand in the beginning.
They hired children.
How? Yeah. They must have found some of the very smart, techie children.
Smart children.
How are you? I never understood, like, on that app, like, when planes fly over you, there's that app.
FlightAware.
Yeah. So the planes are all, even private planes, it'll tell you the tail number, and then if you know whose tail number, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But why... If they're trying to hide these yachts, where's the global tracking system and turn it off?
Yeah.
Well, I guess they've all finally caught on to that, which, by the way, there are reports that Putin has cancer and had some sort of treatment operation, something. And how long ago on this podcast did I say that? Maybe he's sick. I said maybe. And this is him acting out in one last hurrah. Yachts of six sanctioned oligarchs have disappeared from global tracking systems. A crew member told the newspaper they were told to turn off tracking and unscrew the system.
Come on.
Why didn't you do that weeks ago?
Right.
Months ago? Mm-hmm. You just finally figured it out? God. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they've just disappeared off the thing. But you're also not allowed to do that.
No.
There's a reason these things are supposed to be tracked. There are some vessels where we would previously be getting a signal every few minutes from transponders, and now we're seeing gaps of months. It's fairly like they flicked the switch and gone into stealth mode. One crew member of a super yacht linked to a sanctioned oligarch told the paper, "We were told to turn off the AIS. We removed the screws on the power plug and pulled it out. Maritime law requires a yacht to transmit just a long-range signal to enhance the security of shipping and the purposes of safety and marine environment protection." But here's the thing. This is, okay, so you did it.
Uh-huh.
Who's going to come and get you in trouble? Like, I wouldn't do it because I'd go, well, if somebody's going to come, I'm going to get in trouble. But they go to the next level. Who?
Right.
Who? And who's going to do something about it? Just say it broke.
Right.
I don't know. Oh, somebody hit the switch. We're sorry.
Thank you.
No, shockingly, no representatives of the oligarchs linked to the super yachts immediately responded to insiders' request for comment. Well, of course they didn't. They're not going to pick up the phone for this call. One more update. McDonald's, mm-hmm. they're leaving Russia, right?
Yep.
But they're going to sell the restaurants.
What?
No. They're not just going to walk away. And so this company in Russia is going to buy it. And they're probably going to change the name to Fun and Tasty.
What?
How?
Fun and Tasty.
Pathetic was that creative meeting. Hey, man, we're getting all the McDonald's, but we can't call it that anymore. What do you guys want to call it? I don't know. Fun and Tasty? Okay. Thanks, Bob. We'll put that down. Meeting's over. It's a possible name. The other possible name is The Same One.
What?
Yeah. The Same One. Meaning it was McDonald's, it's still McDonald's. Uh-huh. But it's not.
They use the arches.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll at least
change
one arch.
Color.
Just to make them green. The company said on Friday that trademarks registered with Russia's Rospatent agency, from which it ultimately planned to choose one brand, it also included Just Like That and Open Checkout. Huh. These are terrible. What? Nothing's.
Russians don't seem silly.
McDonald's had 850 restaurants in Russia, and it's selling those stores to local licensees Alexander Guvar, who runs an operation of 25 restaurants. He will operate the brand under a new name in Russia, and other franchises will be given the option of working under the new brand. Blah, blah, blah. They've been there for 3 decades. Yep, they're leaving. You know, it's kind of a big commitment to leave, too, because what if the Ukrainian thing gets settled soon?
That's not happening.
It might happen. You don't know, Paddles.
I know. I feel it.
You don't. They're going to take a significant write-off from exiting Russia. Russia between 1.2 and 1.4 billion.
About as many as
served for breakfast. Yeah. In its most recent earning, McDonald's said its closing restaurants had cost $127 million last quarter. Nearly $27 million came from staff costs, payments, and for leases and supplies. Another $100 million was from food and other items it will have to dump. That's pathetic.
That's terrible.
Especially when there's hungry people everywhere. So there you go. Fun and Tasty. How dumb. When it comes to naming something, like, I never think I'm creative until I hear shit like this. I would have been like, no, this meeting is not over. We're not doing Fun and Tasty. We're definitely not. Maybe The Same One.
McRooskies.
McRooskies.
Yeah, I like it.
Holy shit, they found it. Oh, this is great. Yeah, people make all the fun you want of Alabama. But guess what they found there?
What?
5 prehistoric cave drawings uncovered in Alabama are the largest discovered in North America.
No way.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Hidden in a narrow cavern extending less than two feet from floor to ceiling. 5 cave drawings are the largest of their kind discovered so far in North America. These figures, they have little people figures and 2 rattlesnakes are etched in the mud of the surface 19th century unnamed cave in Alabama. The name is intentionally vague to protect the exact location, with the most sizable glyph measuring 11 feet.
Wow.
That's humongous. How'd they do that without a ladder? They got to climb on each other's back like frogs in cheerleading?
Frogs?
Yeah, to build a pyramid. You know, you get down like a frog and then a frog hops on your back and a frog hops on your back. And
what are you, frogs? What are you
frogs do that.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
Frogs piggyback each other.
Yeah, they jump on each other's backs. Not to do drawings. They don't draw.
Then why is it not called froggy backing?
Have you ever heard of leapfrog?
Yeah, but they don't stay on each other.
Sometimes they sit there. No, have you ever seen two sitting there looking at you?
No, I've never seen that.
You don't know, Pat.
You're ridiculous.
Although the cave is known to house hundreds of North American drawings, the combination of small, tight spaces, it made it previously impossible for archaeologists to view the works in their entirety. This part of the cave was so limited that even the artists would have had to work on those pieces in segments. Jesus. I guess they really wanted to protect them. Since 2017, though, a research team has been using photogrammetry, a process that entails capturing overlapping images, approximately 16,000, and assembling them into a 3D model to create composites to reveal the full drawings.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's good, too. You can't tell people where this is at.
No.
You got, and you should see, well, we'll put it in the show notes. They've got a super crazy one of a rattlesnake. They clearly were very terrified.
It's whatever indigenous people were here. It is now the area of now known as Alabama. So good for you, Alabama.
Awesome.
And good for you for keeping it a secret. You don't need some yahoos coming down there with spray paint and shit. Nope. Or trying to find it and dying, getting caught, because that area is so tight.
Not for frogs.
Not for frogs. No. This is super cool, too. This is another holy shit. They found it. 2,100-year-old farmstead in Israel found frozen in time after the owners disappear. Mm-hmm. What? Wow. 2,100-year-old remains of a farmstead whose owners likely abandoned it in a hurry, possibly to avoid impending military invasion. Now, see, this is what people make up, though. You don't know. Yeah. Maybe one day they all went, let's get out of here.
Right.
Fuck it. Or somebody found somewhere better and said, seriously, this place sucks. You got to see what I found over here. And then they all went, but...
Let's go to
McRusky's. Yeah. The excavators discovered an ancient intact storage jars at the site, as well as weights for weaving looms on a shelf, suggesting that whoever lived there left them behind when they quickly departed. I guess they've... it seems that they left in haste of impending danger, possibly the threat of a military attack. The archaeologists don't know who lived there, but it's possible they were the subjects of the something empire, who left to escape the invasion of the area by the forces of the... Something Kingdom, an independent Jewish kingdom based in Jerusalem to the south. We know from historical references in this period the kingdom was expanded into Galilee, and it's possible that the farmstead was abandoned in the wake of these events. The team also found agricultural tools, such as picks at the site, as well as coins that have tentatively been dated to the second half of the 2nd century B.C. Mm-hmm. How cool is that?
Very cool.
Yes. See, now this is why. Why can't I have that job? Why can't I go to that farmstead and find stuff? How fun would that be? I would be careful. Like, I wouldn't do it in a hurry. It wouldn't hurt things. We're moving on. I have an update about Zuckerberg, but I'll save that for next week. We're going to talk a little bit more about my friend Mark. I know I have to hide my hate this week of him, just because it's better to save it for next week. This is where America, how many summers? How many summers do people have to be told when you're in a national park, do not approach the wildlife? I
get excited.
I feel the same way about in the winter with space heaters. How many winters do we have to say on the news, be careful, your space heater can catch shit on fire. And then at least 2, 3, 4, 5 times, at least in St. Louis, space heater and the whole house goes in flames. This
fireworks.
This lady.
Don't. Lady.
Bison gores Yellowstone visitor, tosses her 10 feet in the air. It is a fucking buffalo. What is it? I don't know what people think that you're going to pet it.
I don't know.
A woman visiting Yellowstone National Park was gored by a bison and tossed into the air. I mean, it's not funny, but she's 25 years old from Ohio. There's giant signs.
Right.
Can you not read or
don't
do you not believe it? God, I mean, even... Sometimes when I go to my friend Andrew and Amy's house, sometimes there'll be a goat that has a weird look in its eye. And I just go, nah, not going by that goat today. I'll go over by Petunia. She's always sweet. She's like a dog. But they still are animals.
Yeah.
Like the woman approached the female bison Monday morning after it came close to a boardwalk on Black Sand Basin near Old Faithful Geyser, the park said. Park rules require visitors to remain more than 25 yards from the animals, the largest mammals in North America, which are unpredictable, and they can top speeds of 35 miles an hour.
Really?
Yeah. A cheetah only goes 55. Right.
Yeah.
And they can jump several feet, even though they look fat, but they can jump. An estimated 2,300 to 5,500 bison live in the park, and they've injured more people than any other animal. They're mean. I mean, there's ones at the place in the Ozarks, the top of the rock, the Johnny Morris golf deal, and I don't go near them.
Good.
Well, I mean, you just got to look at them and go, if that thing decided to charge me, I'm dead.
Yeah,
like, this lady came within 10 feet of the animal, and the bison impaled her and tossed her 10 feet in the air. She had puncture wounds and other injuries, was taken to the hospital in Idaho. Her condition was unknown on Tuesday. Two other people were close. To the animal when it gored the woman. The release didn't say if they were injured. The park warned 25 people to stay 20 park warned people to stay 25 yards from bison, elk, bighorn sheep. Now,
I wouldn't go too near the sheep because my mom says all sheep have ringworm.
What?
Yeah. That's every time we would go to Ireland and I'd want to go pet the sheep because they're so fucking cute, especially when they're little, the black face guys with the white bodies and the black face. And I was followed by twins. And the lady said they were twins because I said, those two are never apart. They do look identical. They all look somewhat alike. And she was like, that would be twins. But anyway, so I don't even go. I would not think though a bighorn sheep would be violent.
Depends on what time of year.
It wouldn't enter my mind. But yes, a bison, elk, moose stay 100 yards away from bears and wolves. How about a mile?
Right.
How about a mile? Mm-hmm. I don't take binoculars.
Right.
Come on, folks. Let's get it together. Correction. A previous version of this article misstated the severities. She was gored by a bison and suffered punctured wounds. She did not die. Well, good. You don't need a 25-year-old dying. That's sad. But, yeah. I mean, on the other... Come on, people. I feel like we read this every summer.
Right.
I was in one of them. I think it was Yellowstone. And there was a bear eating a log. And he was pulling the bark off and getting roly-polies. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's like all the work I'll do for a crawfish. Like, it's just giant bear. And he's got to do all this work to get the tiniest little bug. And he's just sitting there eating... like this, and a German guy, I heard him talk, speaking German, he walked up to the end of the log, the tree, a fallen tree, to take closer pictures of the bear eating the roly-polies, and I was kind of rooting for the bear. I was like, you know what? Do it, Mr. Bear. Mm-hmm. Just, he's been told.
He doesn't care.
No, he doesn't care. Okay, we've had a rash lately of protesters doing crazy shit for whatever their protest may be, but the lack of good security regarding everything, even Will Smith just walking up and slapping somebody, the guy who slapped Chappelle or attacked him, that must have been Spider-Man, because I've been to the Hollywood Bowl, and I don't know how you get from a seat to the stage. It's like a 10-foot drop, unless he was side stage. I think we may have already talked about that. But anyway, Mona Lisa smeared...
Spider-Man.
This is another one. Mona Lisa smeared with cake in apparent climate protest.
The real Mona Lisa?
Yes.
Oh my God.
But hold on. The guy didn't get to the painting. The guy clearly did not do his reconnaissance work. Now, I went to the Louvre 1,000 years ago, and there used to be 100 ways into that place. And then they built that pyramid deal, and now there's only one way in. And guess where it runs through? The gift shop. I know. Because now it takes forever to get in, and you're like, anyway. So there's only one way in. The most famous smile in the world was briefly obscured Sunday when a man smeared some cream cake over the Mona Lisa, which seems to have been a climate protest. How is there a person walk around with cream cake in the Louvre?
No idea.
The 16th century masterpiece was untouched.
You can't have food or drink.
I don't think you could have food or drink. It was untouched. However, it is protected behind bulletproof glass in the Louvre Museum in Paris. Social media quickly lit up the videos posted by tourists who were at the gallery at the time. Visitors posted that a man disguised himself as an elderly lady in a wheelchair, presumably in order to gain access to the spot right in front of the painting reserved for the handicapped. He then stood up and smeared cream cake all over the glass that protects the Renaissance painting. What? As security guards pounced on him, the man, who was wearing a wig and makeup, that guy then threw roses at their feet. As they led the man, as they led him away, the man told the crowd in French, "Think about the earth. There are people who are destroying the earth. Think about it, all artists. Think about the earth. This is why I did it. Think about the planet."
Okay.
I don't think these things are effective.
No.
I just don't.
No.
The Louvre issued a statement Monday saying the painting had not suffered any damage. Museum said the man had cake hidden inside his personal belongings.
We don't search those.
He's 36 years old. He was detained. He's going to have a psychiatric evaluation.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah. Now, here's another one. Same sort of shit. This one is really shocking, though. This one is like, oh, my God. First of all, the nerve. It takes some of these people. I don't have it. I can tell you that. Thank God, or I'd be doing crazy shit every weekend. French Open protesters. So the French Open was last week. Coco Gauff did really good. Yeah. I'm not the biggest tennis fan in the world. I prefer other stuff, but I like it when it gets down to like eight people left. Uh-huh. So I watched some of it here and there, but that Coco Gauff did really good. I was really happy for her. Aw. Like some of the other children. French Open protester ties herself to net during the men's semifinal. Now, before we even read this. Yes, there's pictures of it. We'll put them in the show notes, also known as the schnotes. Yes, just reading the headline, here's what I think. Security fail. Who's got the fucking time to tie yourself? That's how slow your security is? There's a girl out there with a rope tying herself. Oh, my God. Casper Rudd advanced to the men's open final after the protester was removed from the court. And this isn't like Wimbledon day one where you're inside court 84. Right. It's center court. Uh-huh. What? I mean, if this lady can do this, what else could you do? You would think after Monica Seles, we would have learned our lesson after she got stabbed by that guy.
Right.
Like, it was delayed after environmental protest tied the net, her neck to the net. The match was delayed 13 minutes during the third set when a woman wearing a white t-shirt with the words, "We have 1,028 days left," ran onto the court at Philippe Chartier, that's the place, I guess, and appeared to attach herself to the net using metal wires and glue. Glue! She has glue going! Everybody should be fired. Sorry.
I agree.
And I'm the nicest boss in the world until you have jumped a shark and you've got a lady with glue. She's got a whole toolbox out there. She's opening, and you guys don't react? Wow. The young woman of French nationality entered the grounds with a valid ticket. Okay. The security team needed to formally identify the object she used to get onto the court before they could remove her. What? And then there's a picture. She just goes dead limp on them, like she's just like a limp thing, and they have to take her out like King Tut. There's four of them. They have to pick up her feet because she won't walk.
Nope.
The woman eventually was carried off and handed to the police. I really didn't know how to react. I didn't know if she was holding anything, said Rudd, the tennis player who won the match. I didn't get to see so much, but it was a little tricky and difficult situation. I don't even know what this means. We have 1,028 days left till what?
The end.
The end?
Yeah.
Of the world?
Yeah, you got to ask her that question.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't really seem to say. I'm just saying, if a lady has this kind of time, yeah. She's in jeans and a shirt with handwritten shit on it. This is clearly a crazy person. She's got the balls to do it or the mental illness to do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's four guys in suits. Oh, what do you think we should do? Should we? I'm not so sure what she is angry about.
What is happening?
I'm just saying, come on, security. Let's get on it. God dang. I mean, this lady didn't do anything harmful, but clearly had the time if she wanted to. Here's another one. This one is so freakish. I probably have watched the clips I've seen probably 50 times.
What?
A man spends $15,000 on high-tech dog costume to fulfill his lifelong dream.
I thought you were lying about that. I thought you were kidding.
I was not kidding. He wants to be a collie, like Lassie. A Japanese man is going viral after spending more than $15,000 on a hyper-realistic collie costume so he could fulfill his lifelong dream of becoming a dog. I don't even know how the man is in this position that he's in, but he takes his paw... And he goes like this. If you're going to be crazy and you're going to do it right. This guy, it's the most realistic, freakish thing I've ever seen. He's going viral. A clip of the man masquerading as Lassie has racked up more than 600,000 YouTube views since it was posted in April. I made it a collie because it looks real when I put it on. Canine cosplayer Toko-san told local news outlet Minavi of the furry getup, for which he paid Zeppet, a company that makes costumes for TV and commercials and films, a whopping $15,709. The final product took 40 days and multiple revisions to create. My favorite one is quadrupedal animals, especially cute ones. This is what he's saying. Among them, I thought that a big animal close to me would be good, considering it would be a realistic model, so I decided to make it a dog. He decided on a collie costume because its long hair can mislead the human figure, not to mention that these herding pooches happen to be his favorite breed of dog. Perhaps most impressive is the dog costume itself, which looks so realistic it could be CGI. Achieving this effect was no mean feat, as it required Zeppa to tailor the animal costume to the human body. I don't even know how there's a human in this thing. It's on four. He's sitting there on four paws. Where's his legs?
This man is ill. Ill.
He's not hurting anybody.
Well, he sure...
Then it gets all technical.
Vocal about it.
Well, I think I see where his legs are from the side view. Yeah. Well, you just gotta go.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
People are fucking nuts right now. Tying themselves to shit.
Silliest thing one can ever commit to, scoffed one detractor. While another wrote, this is like a car accident. Disturbing, but you can't stop looking. I agree with that person. Needless to say, his transformation sparked a stir on YouTube with one commenter. Describing, that's amazing. Hats off. Yeah, I mean, it is amazing. I wouldn't do it.
That's
I wouldn't
bizarre.
Do it at all, more or less pay for it. Masquerading as man's best friend might be ludicrous. However, this isn't the first time someone's taken their love of animals to the extreme. It is estimated that at least 250,000 people in the U.S. identify as furries, a subculture which I will be addressing in my special. I have jokes about the furries in my act, a subculture whose member enjoy dressing up as cartoonish animals, sometimes as a sexual fetish, but more often as a fun escape.
Wow.
15 grand.
He's a furry.
No, he's way better than a furry. No. Yeah. You would think this is a real guy. I've seen furries at conventions and when I'm in the bar at the Marriott, which is always attached to the convention center, and they all come in, and then they have to take their heads off to drink a beer. I love it like when a giant chipmunk goes, I'm so hot. And then he takes his head off and slams a beer and puts it back on. Like, that is not something I would be. All right, we're going to. Oh, this is a great job. How many termites are up for this? I would not be because I have Raynaud's syndrome. I can't be in the cold like this. You could get a job running the world's most remote post office in Antarctica. If you describe yourself as an individual with a sense of adventure and a genuine love of Antarctica, you are and you're free next winter, then we have the perfect job for you. A British charity, the UK Heritage Trust, just launched a search for a team to help run the continent's most remote post office on Goodyear Island in Port Lockroy. Wow. The organization accepted an application for the three positions, base leader, shop manager, and general assistant, whose main task will be to take care of the gift shop and post office. How many, the gift shop, how many tourists are?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's online.
Is it on online gift shop?
And then you have
well, I'll go look.
You happen to be the post office.
Well, I bet they have cool penguin things. Totally. I'm going to go look.
Yep.
Your main task will be to take care of the gift shop and the post office, carry out general maintenance, look after a museum, and count penguins as part of efforts to monitor and protect the island's Gentoo colony.
You have to count birds.
Count penguins, but fuck, they all look alike.
Yeah.
I'd have to keep starting over.
Hold still.
Or shoot them with a tiny paintball gun. Just a tiny one, not one that would hurt. So purple, purple, purple. Given the nature of day-to-day tasks involved to keep Port Lockroy running smoothly, we look for applicants that can bring a range of skills to the team, such as retail experience. What, how many people are buying shit? This has to be online. Heritage, conservation, building maintenance, and leadership management. I don't know how much leadership you need. There's probably only 10 employees. The team will leave in late October or early November.
It's known as the Penguin Post Office.
Mm-hmm. And do they have merch? All right. And you're going to be there. You're going to leave in October or never and be there till March. It's the first time that this is the first time since COVID forced the site to close. It'll be welcoming travelers during a regular summer.
Yeah.
18,000 people visit.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. How much does it pay? It says.
So what would a summer job? This is
$2,300 a month.
$2,300 a month?
Yeah.
That's fine. You probably don't have any expenses. It's a remote and potentially dangerous place. Unfortunately, we are unable to permit any adventurous recreational activities. Sorry, no climbing, water sports, glacier walking, etc. Any spare time you may have, you can pursue more gentle things such as reading, painting, drawing, photography, cooking, watching wildlife. Well, no, you're going to be out there all goddamn day counting penguins because you're going to lose track of who you counted. How do you count these when they all look alike? Here's your accommodations. Basic but comfortable. A hostel-style hut that features bunk beds. Oh, no. I'm not living in a room with other people. Did that. Yeah. No. First 15 years of life. Mm-mm. Wow. Mm-mm. I mean, I'll sleep in my own bunk bed, but I don't want other people in there unless it's a friend that you know. There's no running water on the island. There are no shower facilities either. Sometimes visiting ships will provide the team with shower facilities, but the organization states that sometimes employees can go up to 2 weeks without showering and are expected to be comfortable with these limited washing facilities, yet still keeping high levels of hygiene. Wow. Well, how am I supposed to do that without any water? Right. With no internet access and no cell phone, you will have minimal communication with family and friends back home. Each year we receive hundreds of applications for these positions, and we hope that this year will be no different. Wow. Yeah. You want more? You can apply.
Chilean wine.
Interviews are taking place now.
They have Chilean wine. They have handmade penguin things. Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
Okay, great. I'm going to go on and buy something to support that post office. Because who loves a post office?
Not,
this lady.
It's not online.
It's not on. They don't ship?
No.
It's a post office.
Exactly. That's the irony of it.
Oh, my God. God.
I'll put it in the show notes. You can fly there.
Here's another thing. News. Starbucks is leaving Russia. It's closing 130 stores, which means everybody's going to be sleepy. And that's why it's a good time to attack.
Totally.
I hope the Ukrainian guy takes advantage of the fact that they're all sluggish. Starbucks is leaving too. They move McDonald's exit. They're following the move. McDonald's is selling its stores, which are almost all owned by the company, to an existing Russian franchisee. And we know this can be called probably Fun and Tasty. The stores won't be allowed to use the McDonald's name or menu. Starbucks are owned and operated by Alshaya Group, a Kuwait-based franchise operator. A spokesman for them referred questions to Starbucks. Starbucks entered Russia in 2007. In early March, after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, Starbucks announced that it would keep Russian stores open but donate any profits to humanitarian relief efforts in Ukraine. I doubt that.
Yeah.
People say that shit, then they don't give the money back. Yeah. But a few days later, after Coke, Pepsi, McDonald's, and others temporarily halted, Starbucks changed course and temporarily closed its Russian stores. Temporarily. Mm-hmm. Throughout this dynamic situation, we'll continue to make decisions that are true to our mission and values and communicate with transparency, said Starbucks Corporate CEO Kevin Johnson. I mean, I get it. You're putting it on hold. It would suck if you're just a normal Russian and you don't approve of any of this and you go down to get a cup of coffee and it just says closed indefinitely.
Yeah, sure.
But then again, you do bad things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. Let's see. This is just balls to the walls. This is amazing. Florida gallery owner is charged with peddling a fake Banksy, which I was going to go to in Denver, the Banksy thing, but I just didn't have time because I had to go over and get COVID tested. And
you couldn't get COVID.
I also couldn't get COVID, so I couldn't really be more around a lot of people. Anyway, he's peddling a fake Banksy, Andy Warhol, and Basquiat painting to rich Palm Beach buyers for tens of thousands of dollars and then using the money to fund a luxury lifestyle. It's a Frenchman who owns two galleries on Palm Beach's exclusive Worth Avenue, which I have been down, and everything is extremely expensive. He's been charged with selling the fake paintings from some of the most renowned artists to unsuspecting buyers. Each painting included forged signatures and documents falsely stating that the pieces... I'm sure it's going to say we're authentic. Ownership histories and documenting its authenticity, federal prosecutors claim. He then allegedly used the profits to buy things like a Lamborghini, a Rolex. Why does everybody give a shit about a Rolex? Like the minute people and Cartier jewelry, He's 68 years old. He's now facing charges of mail, wire fraud, laundering of monetary instruments, and monetary laundering. Faces up to 20 years in prison, along with hundreds of thousands of dollars of fines, but he has pleaded not guilty. Huh. Well, yeah, I think some guy, in one case, prosecutors say he bought an Andy Warhol, is it facsimile?
Facsimile.
For $100, and he sold it for $85,000. What? Well, first of all, who thinks that an Andy Warhol is $85,000? It's way more than that.
Yeah.
Unless it's super tiny, I guess. Another unsuspecting scene purchaser signed over a whopping $120,000 for two pieces that this guy bought for just $600. To keep the scam going, federal prosecutors say he allegedly cast himself as an unimpeachable art appraiser and would provide customers with certificates of authenticity. But the alleged scheme, it was caught on in 2021 after several patrons alerted them that the works of Lichtenstein and others would be worth millions of dollars and not the several thousand he charged. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Your prices are too low. It's got to be bullshit. Right. Right. FBI agents then went undercover and agreed to purchase a bogus Warhol from him for $26,000 instead of an additional deal worth $22 million before his arrest last week. I mean, yeah, you can't. If you're going to do this kind of crap, you got to do it for real.
Right.
You know, you can't just go, hey, I got an Andy Warhol. You got 22 grand. What? No, that can't be. Then normal people should go, that can't be real.
See,
but then I think there's always those people that say, oh, I got a deal that nobody else got. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Okay. This is a great story. Now, remember when I said, I don't really, didn't know a lot about Elon Musk. I just know he mouths off, and I know he's got Tesla, and I know he wants to buy Twitter, but I've never really gotten into him like I would know about Mark Zuckerberg, which, by the way, Sheryl Sandberg is stepping down from Meta. Okay, and then she's like, oh, it's just time to move on. How about because Meta is a failure? Oh, gosh. That's speaking of.
Sheryl Sandberg's calling you.
this is, so I looked it up. I think I actually put into Google, is Elon Musk an asshole? Because I don't know. I don't understand why people hate him so much. To me, he seems like an eccentric, but I really haven't been paying attention. So here's some terrible things he's done, if you'd like a reminder. And then I'm going to tell you what he thinks he's going to do this week. Here's some things. The answer is he's a huge jerk who regularly uses his massive platform and other sources of power to do bad things. Claiming in March 2020 that people, these are just bullet points. In March of 2020, he claimed that people worried about coronavirus were, quote, dumb.
What?
Well, I mean, I've heard a million people say that. He
predicted
on March 19th of 2020 that the U.S. was going to have close to zero new cases by the end of April. Well, that's just a mistake. Mm-hmm. That's just, you're dumb. That wasn't even close to. He questioned the safety of COVID vaccines and basically asserted there were quite a few negative reactions to getting a second shot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Plenty of people have made that argument. He likened Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau to Hitler. Well, I don't like that because I think Justin's gorgeous.
Right. And
as far as fine. As shallow as I can be,
yeah.
Leave Justin alone. He has great hair. Saying the U.S. government shouldn't provide subsidies to companies after receiving billions in subsidies from the U.S. government. Yeah, you can't say that if you took the cash. If you said, no, I don't want the cash, then you could say that.
Mm-hmm.
He used Twitter to engage in securities fraud. Yeah. He tweeted pronouns suck. I guess that's over people that want to be a she or they or who cares? I don't even understand why people care about that. If you said from now on, I don't want to be called paddles. I want to be called they. All right. Like, if that makes you happy,
right.
Fine. I mean, I might mess up here and there, but.
I am going to change my name.
You're going to change it?
Yeah, I'm going to change my name.
To what?
I don't know yet.
I think you have to stay paddled.
No,
he tweeted misogynistic things at Senator Elizabeth Warren because she said he should pay more in taxes. He should. She's right. He wrote to Bernie Sanders, who thinks the richest man in the world should also, he also thinks he should pay more taxes. He tweeted to Bernie Sanders, I keep forgetting that you're still alive. I didn't like this. In 2018, he threatened Tesla factory workers that they could lose their stock options if they unionized.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
He baselessly accused a British cave diver instrumental in rescuing a trapped football team. I remember that. They had to swim to go get those kids. He accused him of being a pedo guy because he, like others, said Musk's idea to send a submarine in wouldn't work.
Just because I say your idea doesn't work, you shouldn't call me a pedophile. And also, one has nothing to do with the other.
Exactly. It's a terrible insult because it doesn't even relate to... he reopened a Tesla factory in violation of public health orders where 450 cases were subsequently recorded. There's just... Then there's all this other stuff within the work place that he... You know, he's probably not the guy I would want to hang out with, but anyway... Those are some of the things he's done. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm Bernie and I get that tweet, I'm surprised you're still alive. Bernie's 81 or 82.
And he probably doesn't read his own Twitter.
He probably doesn't read his own Twitter. Chuck Grassley does, though, because he tweets about farm things a lot. That you could only tweet if you were actually sitting in Iowa. But an old person joke, that's all you got, Elon? If I was Bernie, I could think of something really great to just tweet back to that. First of all, it's totally hack. You're just going to call me an old guy. Whatever.
Right.
I mean, it's not even, it's true. I'm sure Bernie doesn't even care. Bernie probably can't believe he's still alive.
Right. Totally.
Here's what Elon's done this week. Elon's ultimatum to Tesla executives, return to the office or get out. He sent it. Yep. Guess who's not going to do this? The children. No,
no,
they will not do it. They're just going to say, oh, yeah, no. Now, I don't know if it's just the higher-ups, because they're probably a little older. He sent an email he apparently sent Tuesday under the subject, remote work is no longer acceptable. Anyone who wishes to do remote work must be in the office for a minimum, and I mean minimum, of 40 hours a week or depart Tesla. This is less than we ask of our factory workers.
Wow.
Well, why are you asking your factory workers to work more? Are you paying overtime?
Right.
The CEO went on to specify that the office must be a main Tesla office, not a remote branch office unrelated to job duties. For example, being responsible for Fremont factory human relations, but not having an office, your office be in another state. Well, he didn't directly address whether the email is authentic, he strongly suggested it is by responding to a follower asking him to address what was going on. And he said they should pretend to work somewhere else. Oh, because he said this Twitter person asked him to address the people who think going into work is an antiquated concept. He said they should pretend to work somewhere else then. Oh, he's snippy, isn't he? God. It's not the first time tough love treatment of employees came. We don't need to go through all that. But thousands of staff. Oh, my God. He had thousands of staff members effectively locked in for months, working 12-hour shifts, 6 days a week. Until recently, many were sleeping on a factory floor as part of a closed-loop system meant to keep COVID out and controls rolling off the production line. So he put them in their own bubble.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Here's the thing, Elon. How old's Elon? Google it. I'd say he's like 42 or something. Maybe 45.
50.
Oh, he's 50.
June 28th, 1971.
So he'll be 51.
Bezos is 58.
Mm-hmm. He's a weird looking thing. I don't care how much money he had. I'd be like, no.
Elon's girlfriend Grimes.
Elon's girlfriend is 34.
Her name is Grimes.
You're not going to get the children, especially because all these other companies, which are smart, they're what?
Did you know he founded PayPal?
I did know he founded PayPal, yeah.
When he was 27.
He's a genius. I mean, there's no question about it. He created some software thing when he was like 14 and sold it for like a bazillion dollars.
Nationality.
He sold what became PayPal. It wasn't called PayPal when he sold it. It was the program that became PayPal.
Correct.
He invented that.
He sold it to eBay.
Yeah. He's extremely smart.
Billion.
I mean, there's no question about it. It's just he's also off.
A little bit.
Yeah, I'm pulling out a couple more. that I like before we wrap this up. The world's oldest man. He's 113. Well, just to finish that, there's a lot of companies that are telling people they don't have to come back into work, which I think is going to be the future anyway. Yes, I do think it's an antiquated thing. Unless, like, I don't know, you're part of a law firm, you're all working on a case together. It's probably easy if you're all just sitting there. If you're gonna be, but, you know, for whatever he's asking, there are so many jobs that don't people don't need to go into. And there's so many companies saying you don't have to. I think because we talked about it on this podcast. I think it was Google. Was it Google telling people you're good? Go. I did the story. I can't even remember. And go live wherever you want. You don't even have to live in any state we tell you to. Just go. Just work. And, you know what you're going to get? Happy children. Happy children. And they're going to do the work you want. Yep. Let them do what they want as long as they're responsible. World's oldest man celebrates his 113th birthday in Venezuela. It says the secret to long life is a glass of sugarcane hooch every day. Huh. I had to Google it. Juan Vicente Mora. He reached the milestone on Friday, May 27th, less than 2 weeks after he was officially declared the oldest male in the world by Guinness World Records. He has 41 grandchildren, 18 grandchildren, and 12 great-grandchildren. He said the secret is a local alcoholic drink. He said he starts every day with a cup of coffee while also drinks a glass of agua diente, which is a liquor made from sugar cane. The booze, which translates into English as fire water, has a minimum of 29% alcohol, and some brews go up to 60%. He's the first male super centenarian from Venezuela. He gave advice to work hard, rest on holidays, go to bed early, and drink a glass of agua diente, I'm probably saying that wrong, every day. Love God, and always carry him in your heart.
There you go.
It's not hard. He's completely lucid. His only health problems are slightly elevated blood pressure. Check the 60 proof he's drinking every day. And he has hearing problems due to his age. Well, why don't we do a little GoFundMe and get him some hearing aids? Yeah. I know they're expensive. My dad, and then, you know, who likes to eat hearing aids? Dogs. They love the earwax. Yeah. You know how many times I've heard my dad go, gosh, shit! And then I'm like, uh-oh. I think the dog, the dog found the hearing aid. He does not take medication. He seems totally fine. Full health. He does not have any diseases that require medical attention or medicine. He was born the 9th of 10 people in El Cobre in the western Venezuela state of Taquaria in 1909. He attended school for only 5 months, but fortunately learned the basics of reading and writing thanks to a notebook given to him by his teacher. He hailed from a family of farmers who planted coffee and sugar. He enjoyed a long, successful career as a farmer and sold his remaining plot of land at the age of 104.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. He also worked as a sheriff, and he would solve land or personal disputes within the community.
Nice.
Yeah. He outlived, on his road to get here, he outlived his wife, oh, sad time. They had 11 children. She died in 1997. It was the hardest year of his life, he said. Yeah. He took the title on May 17th, becoming the oldest, while previous holder Santonio de la Fuente Garcia from Spain died in January. He was 112. The title, despite his age, he still has a long way to go before becoming the oldest person, the oldest man ever. That guy, the title belongs to Yuroman Kimura, a Japanese man who lived till 116 and 54 days. He lived through the entire 20th century. The oldest living person, though, is the French nun we talked about, who's 118. Jean Clement. The oldest person ever, the oldest person ever is thought to have been Jean Clement, who lived to the age of 122. Recently, officials in Brazil claim to have found a 121-year-old woman living in a village municipality of Bom Jesus de Lapa. State officials say medics were flabbergasted to find Maria Gomez de Rios, born on June 16th, that date wrong, after checking her birth certificate. Oh, that's the one they're going to make her pay if she wants to declare it. We talked about that last week or whatever. Shut up. Yeah, that's not nice. So congratulations to that guy.
Yeah, liquor and Jesus.
Yeah. You know what? I'm gonna close on a little nostalgia.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Kind of sad. Well, not horribly sad, just, you know, I gotta find it, though. America's, my brother John and my cousin Tony worked here when we were in high school. Mm-hmm. I worked at the Lodge of the Four Seasons. They worked at where? Howard Johnson's. Oh. Down in the Ozarks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. America's last Howard Johnson's restaurant has closed. Their restaurants were so good. Diner food. Uh-huh. A tuna sandwich on toast. Like, it's so sad. Open for the most part of the past 70 years, the restaurant was located in Lake George, New York, a popular summer vacation spot near the Adirondack Mountains. The restaurant closed its doors in recent weeks, and the property is up for lease. Oh. Oh. Lake of George is officially dead, a Howard Johnson's fan wrote on Facebook, no. adding several pictures of the abandoned restaurant. Cobwebs on the door right before a memorial rush up here. The Longside Road staple had about 1,000 restaurants in the 60s and 70s, all the way into the 80s. I mean, ours, well, I mean, the one in the Ozarks was open the whole time I was in high school. Yeah. But we would go pick them up from work because only one person could drive. I don't even think, I wasn't old enough to drive. I was not driving. Well, I didn't pick them up, mm-hmm. whoever was driving. But like, they'd have breakfast all night long. Mm-hmm. So if we got off work at midnight, you could still go in there. The restaurant was open 24 hours. Mm-hmm. It was great. Yes. I just remember their tuna sandwiches. Really good. Hamburgers, great. It was once America's largest chain restaurant, instantly recognizable for its orange roofs. And orange roofs, the diners served 28 types of ice cream. I vaguely remember that. I don't like sweet stuff, so I guess I didn't care. And it became 28. Wow. Yeah. Jesus. If it ain't Baskin-Robbins, I'm not eating it. Just don't give me Haagen-Dazs. Yeah, mint chip. One time I said that, I go, oh, we were in Siesta Key, visit my mom and dad, and we took the kids down to, I think it's called St. Olaf's, this ice cream store in downtown Siesta Key. And I go, can I get a mint chip and a sugar cone? My sister's like, what are you, 100? I go, what? Who orders mint chip, Kathleen? Only old people. I said, well, I'm old. No, I mean like in retirement homes. Like when we had to do that charity stuff through her Catholic school, they had to go. She's like, that's what they had for dessert every night. And they loved it. I'm like, well, I mean, I could have gotten chocolate. I didn't think I was going to be attacked. Howard Johnson's quickly found itself in the shadow of McDonald's and other fast food chains that maximize efficiency and better managed supply chains. Marriott bought a crippled Howard Johnson in 1985, selling hundreds of the brand hotels and about 200 restaurants to Prime Motor Inn. Boo. The company sold the restaurants to other chains, and they lost the Hojo name. I know. By the last decade, just a handful of Howard Johnson's restaurants were still operating. The Lake George location, along with one in Lake Placid, New York, and the other in Bangor, Maine. The Lake Placid restaurant closed in 2015, Bangor, Maine in 2016. The Lake George location has seen interest since it went up for lease last year. Well, somebody should just go in there and make a diner again. I mean, you probably don't have a lot of winter business. I don't know enough about this place. They've seen interest since it went up for lease. The real estate listing, 7,500 square foot property, that states a price of $10. That's got to be a misprint. Right. Although the restaurants are closed, the hotel chain is still alive and well. There are about 300 locations, and it's currently owned by Wyndham.
Oh. Bad too.
Yeah. All right, termites. I got to get my shit together. I got to unpack and repack. And then I got to go get this tooth. I've been waiting on my tooth. It's getting weird. Well, my dentist guy called, the guy who does all the scheduling, his name's Philip. He goes, Kathleen, we still got this tooth sitting down here. I know you're busy. I saw your website, but anytime you won't come get that tooth. And I'm like, I've been gone so much, I don't have time to pick up a tooth. There's a tooth sitting in a drawer at my dentist that they're going to screw on this implant, and boom, I will have a whole new tooth. Then I'm going to go to Atlantic City.
Fun.
Yes, I'm going to go out in a boat with my friend Dory.
Cool.
Yeah. I've never been in a boat in the Atlantic until she took me. It was super exciting. And then as I was swimming in what seemed like a bay, I'm like, still the ocean, Kathleen. And then I started thinking about, wouldn't this be a great place for a shark to attack me? And I'm so white, it won't be hard to see my legs. No, especially in the water like that when they look extra day glow white. But Atlantic City, we have a show at the Borgata. I always like checking in on Atlantic City because they have little things, burst of things where they try new things, and we'll see what sticks and what doesn't. But the Borgata is very, very nice. Michael Somerville, my comedian friend, he will be opening the shows. He's very, very funny, and he and I incessantly talk about gambling. I'm always excited to see Michael. He drinks beer and he gambles. My kind of guy. He's from New York. And then I'll be with Sean Cassidy, my teen idol. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, he doesn't behave like Kirk Cameron, does he? No. Scott Baio? No. Ricky Schroeder? No. Sean Cassidy. Show me who your idols, I'll show you who you are. Yes, me and Sean, it's the strangest show ever. I'm not even sure. I think I just reacted and I went, yes, I'll do it. And then I was so excited because I had pants with his picture on the bottom. My parents got it serious. I'm excited to see him. Yeah. And I don't know. It's in Salina, Kansas. I probably should have thought about that before I went, I'll do it. It's a bit of a ways to get there, but you got to fly to Kansas City. But if you're anywhere in the tri-state area and you'd like to come and see me and Sean, I'll be going first and doing my time, and then Sean will be going second. Because why? Comedy never follows music.
No.
My friend George Wallace, I had no idea. He was on the road with, back in the day, because George is a bit older than me. You can Google his age if you want. It's so cool, too, to see like such... Like, George is such, he's been doing it so long, he's just really, like, a legend guy. We went in for the COVID testing, and the two girls were from Atlanta.
Yeah.
And he had his mask on. We all have masks on because of the COVID testing. But he started talking, and she went, that can't be the real Mr. George Wallace, is it? She's, like, 40. He's, like, 75. But he's just been, he's done so many things. Like, if you Google his Wikipedia page, it's amazing the amount of shit he's done. But then he'll just drop little bombs in conversation where I said, yeah, you know, one time I went to see Donna Summer. We were talking about people we'd seen in Las Vegas and how much I really loved her. And he goes, she's a wonderful lady. But, you know, when she can't hit those high notes, you know who's doing that? Mary, her sister. I said, how do you know that? Yeah. He's like, oh, I was on the road for a year and a half with Donna Summer. He was on the road with George Benson. He's back in the day when comedians used to open for musicians. And that really does not happen anymore.
Wow.
It used to be a thing. The musicians took the comedians, and then, I don't know, maybe people pissed, maybe our team pissed people off, comedians or something, and they don't really use us for that anymore. But he's had such a crazy life, like opening for all these music people. Mm-hmm. Just when you think I say another name, he'll be like, oh, I love me some Anita Baker. Let me see if I can get Anita. Call me right back. Like, oh, my God. He's just the best.
He's so nice.
I forgot why I even said that. Oh, because then I'm going to Las Vegas. Yeah. After Sean Cassidy to the Mirage, super excited. I will be maybe at the pool bar for perhaps an hour. And I sit, if you're looking for me, in the Tiki Hut bar under the sprayers.
In the shade.
Well, the last time a bunch of my family came, this was the craziest. I had a giant beer. Everybody in the pool has a drink. Like, you know, people are just pissing in there nonstop, but whatever, I don't care. And I had sunglasses and a floppy hat to try to keep all sun off me. And as I'm walking along with my giant beer, like a 22-ounce beer, some dude accidentally throws a Nerf, but it's wet, a wet Nerf football at 100 miles an hour. It hits my beer. The beer glass, everything flies in my face. My sunglasses fly off, my hat, and he comes, some southern dude, because he goes, ma'am, I'm so sorry. He goes, I feel like I need to buy you 7 of those to make up for that. That was violent. That was just so violent. And I go, it was violent. I said, you're lucky you're not my brother, because I'd have picked that goddamn ball up and whizzed it so back at you because I was so mad. I thought one of my relatives did it. I didn't think it was a stranger. And I thought, you know what? Had you been my brother, this would have come back in your face 50 times harder than you accidentally threw it. But since you're a stranger and you're sweet and you don't have to buy me 7 beers, but you need to buy me 1. And I don't feel like going and getting it because I just walked all the way over there, and then so he went and got me another beer.
That's nice.
Yeah, I don't go in the pool that much there just because it's too hot. Uh-huh. And it's too, the sun gets to me, and I can't. I never could, not even as a kid. I can't. Too white. Sunblock only does so much. So that's it, termites. You come find me on the road, and
congratulations on your special.
Thank you. Congratulations on the special. I think it's going to be good. I wore a green jacket that I got online, and then I put some of the patches that the soldiers gave me in Iraq and Afghanistan. Yeah, I wanted to put my Missouri Bear patch, but it didn't really match, so I'll have to put that on something else. But if you see military patches on there, they used to give them to you like as a thank you, and they're super cool looking, but I always thought, I don't know what I'm ever going to do with these. And then I got this green jacket, and I'm like, it needs a little spunk. Yeah, it needs a little pump up, a little something different. So there you have it. And that's it. Termites, be good time summer termites. Be nice to people working with the general public termites. People are so fucking crazy. Even at the airports. I mean, the fighting, it's got to calm down. Yeah. I'm going to go do the math on how much it costs to fill up a 387-foot yacht. I'll have that number by next week. Basing it off the price of gas in Tennessee and Missouri on water. I don't know what it costs in these UAE or secret places, but probably around the same. And that's it, termites. That's all I got. Are you ready?